Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Predator centerman Matt Duchesne for joining us in the last segment for his weekly visit. That was a lot of fun. Nate on Twitter says, hearing life happen during professional athlete interviews is nice. I think it makes them more comfortable since they're in their element. I love hearing kids and animals in the background. Matt shouldn't have left. I did. I enjoyed Matt's son playing in the background. It was fun.
Maybe we should get him on next time.
Yeah. Have a little Bo on. Be good.
Is that his name?
Bo?
Yeah. Bo?
Yeah. That's a good time.
Robert?
I don't know.
There's no Bo. Okay.
I don't know.
Bo knows.
We'll have to ask him. Bo knows. That's right. I agree, Nate. That was fun stuff, and we all know that. And Christopher on Periscope says he should try having triplets at home like I do. Working from home can be very interesting. I imagine we've all found that out to a certain degree in the past year. Working from home can be a very, very interesting thing at times.
Triplets, huh? Yeah. How old are those triplets?
I don't know. That sounds like a handful right there.
That's my question back to you. How old are your triplets?
Joe, the Tennessee Titans have made it official. We talked about this earlier in the show, but the Titans have added Jim Schwartz as, quote, a senior defensive assistant. He will now join the coaching staff for the Titans, and this coming out from a piece the Titans have put up on their website from Jim Wyatt. Quote, we are excited to add Jim to our staff. This coming from Mike Vrabel. He has a deep level of football knowledge and has overseen a great deal of success on the defensive side of the ball, so it's always good to add a quality coach to our staff. This role will provide our defensive staff with Jim's experience and perspective in staff meetings and on the practice field. Also says in this article, Schwartz will be a resource for Bowen and the defensive staff. So the addition of Jim Schwartz to the coaching staff now made official. He will join the Titans coaching staff as a senior defensive assistant.
It'll be interesting. You know, how many, like Jim Schwartz is going to be certainly a guy of high interest to media, you know, because of his history here and because obviously we were talking about a former head coach, a D coordinator at three different places, including here. But, you know, who wants to interview the senior defensive assistant? Like, why, you know, it's a senior defensive assistant. It's going to be interesting.
Maybe you will. Maybe you can do a big story on the senior defensive assistant.
Would the Titans have Schwartz on a Zoom? I mean, I wouldn't think so if we're doing the Zoom thing or even available as an assistant. Like, it's not a – like, when you go to, like, Saban's program, it's not a non-starter anyway. He doesn't let any of his assistants talk.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jim Schwartz is in the scheme of the Titans, in the larger scheme of things, he's just sort of a, you know, a guy who's in there to consult. But – from our perspective, it's a, you know, he's a person of high interest.
Do you find this addition strange at all, given that it's Shane Bowen's first quote-unquote year as officially having the title as defensive coordinator? Now you've brought in another defensive coordinator, a former defensive coordinator to the mix. Do you think this could be in any way disconcerting for Shane Bowen, bringing in a guy like Jim Schwartz?
I don't know. I think that if things – like, Schwartz is going to be mentioned in whatever happens, especially, like, if they go well. If they go well, then it's like,
Jim Schwartz.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, for Shane Bowen, it's a resource. It's another coach who has had success. And so, he should look at it like, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm in charge of this defense, and this is a valuable voice that can maybe help in certain cases. But how does Schwartz look at it? You know?
It's interesting.
It can't be easy to go from years of at least being a coordinator in the league, and then obviously you've been a head coach, and you were lionized, and you survived working for the Lions organization.
You
but,
did.
But all those years of having that level of responsibility, of that level of power, of voice, from someone who was very confident in himself, that's pretty obvious.
Yes.
For Jim Schwartz. It's time, and then to come and all of a sudden just be like, hey, I'm just over here, guys. Just let me know. I'll throw in my 2 cents. I can chart some things for you. You know, I can Google some stuff, and we can go through some numbers. It'd be interesting. The whole thing's interesting. I don't think it's ever bad to add smart people to your football staff, but it's like really the problematic part of this is us. Just like a lot of things. Like Vrabel's presser the other day was actually amazing, but we screwed it up apparently. He was fantastic.
Reading hieroglyphics, trying to figure out what's going on over there.
He gave the little hint about Jim Schwartz in a totally vanilla quote, and apparently we screwed it up.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, so if Shane fails, now they can make a change mid-season. What do you think of that? If things aren't going well for Shane Bowen, they just say, all right, buddy, thanks, but you're out of here. Jim Schwartz coming in to be the defensive coordinator.
Well, and as you brought up earlier on the show, it is interesting, you know, Schwartz's system is totally different from Vrabel's, so this is not if anyone thought Vrabel was only going to deal with people who, you know, were his defensive guys, well, here's someone who has a different philosophy. He's been a 4-3 guy his whole career, although Vrabel rejects the 3-4 talk. He says it's defense is multiple, but it's a different defense. So but sure. Like, there you go. You got the. You could just fire Bowen and replace him, or you got the defense is way better. So Schwartz must have been actually pulling the strings and telling Shane Bowen what to do. You know, there's a lot of things from Bowen's perspective that this could get annoying.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John from Clarksville texts in, was it that basically Romeo Crennel's position when Vrabel was the Texans defensive coordinator, talking about the senior defensive assistant?
Well, so they replaced Crennel, but I thought Crennel just went to be a position coach then. Am I wrong about that?
I thought that was the case as well. We can look it up on the magical internet.
No, so Vrabel was getting head coaching looks, and my understanding is, I believe it was reported by John McClain that, you know, they made him DC and basically demoted Crennel to keep him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Did he just become like this? Like this sort of consultant role? I don't think that's true. No, he was assistant head coach. So it was kind of like a promotion, but it was also like, okay, Mike's going to run the D now. So you're assistant head coach. In a way, you could say it was a promotion, but it was almost kind of like sliding him aside.
It's also taking responsibility away from him, too. Yeah,
exactly. But no, he was not this. I mean, this is not a full-time member of the coaching staff.
Right. Senior
defensive assistant. I don't know what
this is becoming more and more of a thing in football, though. Whether it's college football, NFL, like these consultants or assistants or advisors, whatever you want to call them, this is it's becoming more and more of a thing in the world of football. You see a lot in college football too.
Yeah, and it's almost like in some cases, kind of like career rehab. I guess you could look at like that from the Schwartz perspective. I don't know how much blame he got for just the overall badness of the Eagles. You know, they just weren't very good. I mean, the Eagles.
And your offense was terrible.
Yeah, your offense was terrible. They were the classic, you know, team that went for it, and got themselves into cap prison, you know. But I'm sure he's looking for a quick bounce back and a DC job somewhere else real soon, and maybe he sees this. Hey, this could be my DC job back home, being the Tennessee Titans defensive coordinator. Maybe that's how he looks at it.
Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris in Nashville says, what the heck? This is very strange. I thought Vrabel was all in on Bowen. Oops.
Well, does this mean he's not?
I don't know.
Does this mean he's not?
Maybe that's how Bowen views it too.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, and this is one of those things. Like, apparently Vrabel, you know, gave us these hints. It'd be interesting, you know, to hear him talk about how this will work and what this means. But yes, people are going to jump to that. People are going to jump to, okay, so he gave Bowen the DC title, but he found this veteran guy who could be there in a help role, could be there in a replacement role. Isn't necessarily true. It could be just that, look, I got a chance for someone who's out there who could give us another good mind in the room. But people are going to are going to make that
leap. That's the connection
they're going to make that leap.
They absolutely are. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jim Schwartz hired as a senior defensive assistant by the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, and there's a big tournament coming up this week. One of the best things about golf is a gimme. It's a sure thing. So if you want to start betting on golf, FanDuel Sportsbook has a gimme just for you. New users can get 20-1 odds on Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, or Jordan Spieth just to make the cut at the Masters. That's right. Take your pick. You'll get 20-1 odds on three of the world's best golfers just to make the cut. Jordan Spieth playing really well as of late. Dustin Johnson has had a lot of success at this course as well. So maybe that's a way you could go with your bet. Regardless of which way you go, it's a good odds for you. And you can win $100 on a $5 bet. There's not much more of a gimme than that. And when you win, FanDuel pays you in as little as 24 hours. The world's best golfers tee off in Augusta, April the 8th through the 11th. And there are even more ways to win with America's number one sportsbook. Just create your account by using promo code ROB to get 20-1 odds. That's promo code ROB only on FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $100 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with some free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer, just like our good friend Ryan Porth? Make sure you're tuning in all day on Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We'll have that chance for you coming up here on our show at 9:45 on Friday with another great trivia question from the great Ryan Porth. So I know we're all very much looking forward to that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode.
It will be Masters related.
It will be Masters related.
So big like weekend.
That's right.
I probably won't get it then.
By the way, Christopher on Periscope, who mentioned earlier that triplets, he had triplets.
Yeah.
Three-year-old girls.
Oh, my goodness, three-year-olds.
They're already fighting over who gets to use the bathroom first. So there you go. Your hands full, Christopher.
I think three is – I didn't want to tell this to Deshane because he said his son has fast-forwarded. It looks like he's four. I was like, you better hope he gets right to four because I think three is the worst age. So
you hear about the terrible twos, but three, I've heard, can
three's
be a little rough.
Three is worse, I think. I think three is worse than two. So good luck with that. What's his name?
Bo.
All right. No, I'm talking about this.
Oh, Christopher. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Deshane.
Good luck with that, Christopher.
Yes.
And good luck to you, Bo.
Yes.
Way to knock those blocks down, buddy.
Good luck to all of us here on the program. Joe, talking Titans right now. Christopher also asked, how much pressure is truly on Shane Bowen for this year? We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but let's revisit that discussion. As you look at this season for Shane Bowen, when you factor in the way last year ended with Vrabel saying at the end, yeah, I mean, it's basically Shane Bowen's show the whole year. We didn't have the title. Now he's got the title. Jim Schwartz has come in as a senior defensive assistant, and we all know how bad the defense was a year ago. How much pressure do you think is truly on Shane Bowen this year as they enter into his first official year as defensive coordinator?
Well, I think the expectations are kind of low, so I could make the case that there's more pressure on Todd Downing.
Yeah.
I could make that case. I think it's like Shane Bowen has a great opportunity to exceed expectations. Todd Downing does not. Shane Bowen has a wonderful opportunity. Now, of course,
I'm trying to imagine what Todd Downing exceeding expectations would look like.
Right.
Tannehill throwing for 5,500 yards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess with the 17th game, Derrick Henry, can you get 2,500 yards?
Yeah.
Darrington Evans having a huge year. You know, but Bowen, I mean, the expectations are low. Again, the thing is, let's say Bowen does great work, is a rising star as a D coordinator in the NFL, as we all find out this fall. And still there will be people saying, Jim Schwartz must have really had an impact. Now, Jared Stillman, who's obsessed with our show, listens to every moment, doesn't know what basket interference is, has to go back 5 years to find takes of mine that he can make fun of, but still provides some useful information, has texted me this morning. So Stillman says Titans have done this twice. They brought back Greg Williams to oversee Jerry Gray as D coordinator, and then,
yep,
of course, I would certainly remember Dick LeBeau with Ray Horton. He says both moves didn't matter. LeBeau told Malarkey he was out of Horton, was back in 2016. But my question for him, which he hasn't responded to yet, he's probably doing some benching like 40 pounds right now, is – I don't know why I'm so mean to Jared all of a sudden. But my question is to him was, what were their titles? You know, is what I think those guys were brought in as full-time assistant coaches, right?
I don't know. I mean, I have to go back and look. Like, are we sure that Schwartz is not going to be? I mean, it's senior defensive assistant. I have to go back and read the whole piece again, but – we sure he's not going to be full time?
What I will say is it did not work out well for Jerry Gray nor.
No, it did not.
Who was the other name?
Ray Horton.
Ray Horton, yeah.
Did not work out well at all.
Woof.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I'm not saying he's, I mean, he may be full time, but when you say someone is a senior defensive assistant, I guess to me that's just one of the newer, like you said, sort of consultant additions that we didn't see a few years ago.
Yeah.
I guess you can call anything whatever you want. I mean, Vrabel had a DC last year. He didn't call a DC. So, but he's not a coordinator. He's not a position coach. Were those guys, like when LeBeau came in, what was his title? Was he like secondary coach?
I don't think he was secondary coach. I don't know what he was. Maybe he was defensive advisor.
Okay.
Maybe he eventually became coordinator.
I mean, right. Well.
Which...
Sure. No, I mean, I understand the comparison there for sure. You got someone who's established and has been very successful, and you all of a sudden bring him in. I think LeBeau just came in as co-DC.
Okay.
You know, so that's different, obviously. But it's also like, yeah, it's also. So this is – LeBeau was hired officially. He was assistant – it was the assistant head coach thing. So that's still different than this, right? That's like Crennel.
Right.
Except you're brought in that way. Yeah, here we go. Stillman, thank you, Jared. Good job. Wipe your sweat off. And Dick LeBeau, assistant head coach for defense. Assistant head coach for defense.
Glad they were specific.
There's an interesting one.
Yes.
But that was – I mean, obviously that had to have been read right at that moment as – like a coup on the way, right?
Right, exactly.
Is that how we read this? Should we be reading that this way?
Not how
maybe.
I read it.
I don't necessarily read it that way either.
It is interesting, though. I mean, it's just, and we talked about this earlier in the show too. Like, you've got Jim Schwartz coming in. What exactly is he going to be doing? Because I mean, you read this piece that the Titans have put out. I mean, it sounds like an advisory role, and he's going to be a resource for Shane Bowen. Like, so what does that mean? Like, what's he going to be doing on a weekly basis for the Titans? Are you helping him come up with a game plan? Or are you giving your input on what sort of calls you'd make in a situation? Like, what exactly does the role look like for Jim Schwartz, who, as you have mentioned, a guy that it seems like he's been around forever, and he has. But he's only 54 years old. Rex Rhodes destructive over here. You okay?
Beau Duchesne over here knocking my blocks down.
You know where I was going with that.
Yeah, you were making a good point.
Thank you.
Stillman also sent me Williams was named senior assistant for defense. So that sounds like this.
Yeah.
So I guess this has been going on. I mean, that's the thing. The NFL.
So is that confirmation that Jim Schwartz is going to be the defensive coordinator by the end of the year?
No. That was, of course, after Greg Williams was reinstated by the league after his all his issues.
Yes.
But I don't know. My immediate reaction was not, oh, watch out, Shane, you're in trouble, you know? I mean, again, I think one of the things about Shane Bowen and whoever like Vrabel keeps internally or elevates is like he has his system that he believes in.
Yeah.
Right? So would he say, okay, Jim, it's your D and that's your D? Is Jim Schwartz going to come in and do something different than he's done his entire career running a defense? I mean, I suppose, like, I wouldn't turn down a DC job if that was part of the deal. Well, but if it's what he's done his whole career, that's kind of a big ask.
Well, and you've also just – I mean, you've gone and signed Bud Dupree to play a specific position. I mean, he's coming in as an outside linebacker. Now, could he, I guess, switch it up and line up as a defensive end?
Yeah, probably. Weak side 4-3 defensive end?
Probably so. I mean, I don't know if it would be that much of an ask for him to do that, but I don't know. We talked about that at the end of last year. Like, how open should you be if you're the Titans to maybe changing the way you run your defense a little bit? And to your point, Like, Vrabel's not going to get nailed down on the 3-4 stuff. The front multiplicity and all these other things that he talks about, that's part of the equation for sure. I just don't anticipate, like, some big system overhaul. Like, to me, the moves that they've made with Downing being OC, Shane Bowen remaining as DC, tells me Vrabel's pretty confident in the system and the coaching that they have. I don't think it's going to look all that different next year.
So is the value of whatever Shorts brings, tons of experience, guy who's been very successful as a defensive coach, does that outweigh the possibly completely misguided speculation and distraction around him being here?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like Vrabel's all that worried about that stuff.
Yeah, right, yeah. I agree.
I mean,
I think this is another example. He's like, okay, you guys say whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, he doesn't care. I mean, it was the same stuff last year with the – we spent all season long talking about, why won't you just name Shane Bowen the defensive coordinator? And at the end of the season, he was just like, ah. Apparently, y'all thought that was a big deal.
Well, yeah. He's like, oh, you guys with your titles. Well,
it is okay. Important.
Most teams
you got them
do
for
that.
Most
teams
positions.
Have those titles.
Yeah. Hey, and maybe next time when Vrabel has a press conference, he will include Jim Schwartz as a part of the staff that he lists off.
That's true. I mean, this has to be asked.
It's
just
a new
so
development.
He can, and, like, see where he lists them.
In the pecking
staff.
Order, yeah. We'll have to see what happens there when we come back.
He says apparently a lot in these pressers that we dummies in the media don't pick up
apparently
on.
Apparently so. Got to really start digging through those a little bit more. When we come back, we'll get back into the Predators. Adam Vinken from The Athletic will join us. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you'll win a prize pack. The next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45.
Who got one right last night?
You did, Porth. I'm glad you
Thank
got
you.
That in there.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Standings now, the listeners at 6, Rex Road at 6, Ryan Porth at 2, Robbie Stanley at 1 in the competition. So, got some work to do.
Plenty of time.
That's
Plenty
right.
of time as you guys... When you're, you know, in your little competition.
Well said.
Separate from me and the listener.
Thank you.
Good luck.
It's that time of the week to bring in Adam Vinken from The Athletic to the program here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We are doing wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to join us today. Adam, we'll get to the game last night and the winning streak here in just a minute. I want to start, though, with this. It is trade deadline week here in the NHL. The deadline coming up on the 12th. What do you think the Predators do? I think this was a pretty clear answer this time 3 weeks ago, a month ago. It's gotten more complicated with the winning that they've done as of late, 10 out of the last 12. What do you think this next week looks like, not only but for the Predators, but for league, or but for the entire league as well in terms of the activity at the deadline?
Well, we are starting to see some teams hold out important players. The New Jersey Devils are scratching Kyle Palmieri. The Buffalo Sabres are scratching Taylor Hall. Those two teams, of course, out of the playoff picture, and they have valuable assets. And 3 weeks ago, I wouldn't have been surprised if the Predators would have been doing the same thing, if they were still in the same position now that they were then, you know, holding out Matthias Ekholm, holding out Mikael Granlund, but that doesn't appear to be the case. You know, I think it's just as likely now that the Predators don't do much at the trade deadline. And we've had plenty of discussions about whether or not that's the right thing to do. I am of the mind that they should still sell some assets and get something back for some of their veteran players on short-term or expiring contracts. Because the Predators have an opportunity here that not very many teams get, which is to build for the future by trading players for future assets, draft picks and such, but also competing for a playoff spot. Oftentimes it's one or the other. You're a really good team and you're buying at the deadline and you're trying to win the Stanley Cup, or you're a really bad team and you're everything must go and you're trying to get whatever you can to rebuild. The Predators could do both at the same time. And that's not something that they should, that's an opportunity that they should not waste. So, you know, although Mikael Granlund, for instance, has played a role in the Predators' recent success, personally, I do not believe that their playoff chances hinge on having Mikael Granlund on the roster. And the same for me goes with players like Eric Halla and Nick Cousins. So if they get offers for those players that are significant enough for them to move on from those players, I do not think they should hesitate.
So if they don't make a deal, is that like, is that David Poyle going for it? If David Poyle stands pat, is that David Poyle going for it, quote unquote, with this team?
It might be. Look, I wrote a story. It's funny because I wrote a story today for The Athletic basically making the case for and against trading Mikael Granlund. And I think there are 9 comments so far on the story. And I think 8 of them say that they should trade Mikael Granlund. I think the fan base is clearly in the soft selling category, as I like to call it. I think the fan base is being realistic about what this team is, despite the fact they've won 10 out of 12. And they don't want to waste an opportunity to get better in the future by potentially losing in the first round to Tampa or Carolina or Florida. A first round exit for this team puts it exactly where it was a year ago, when it was losing to Arizona in a qualifying round series. So I think this season, based on what we've seen, if David Poyle were to do nothing, I think that would be the equivalent of going for it, yes.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Adam, it's interesting. You watch UC Soros play right now, obviously. I mean, he's just playing at a beyond elite level at this point. He is red hot. And we've seen Soros go through hot streaks before. We've also seen that sometimes when he cools off in a pretty big way. And the numbers come down pretty dramatically. Obviously, you know, the exact percentage of what he's doing right now is not sustainable. But when you look at him play, when you watch him take over as, for now, the number one guy, do you think that he has reached a different level with his play that is sustainable?
Yeah, that's a good question, because we were having the same conversation a year ago. When UC Soros, I think it was 16 of the final 21 regular season games, UC Soros was in goal and he was playing incredibly well. You know, the argument could be made that he was single-handedly dragging the Predators into a playoff spot in the second half of last season before we hit pause on everything. But then we saw him in the bubble and he was okay against the Arizona Coyotes, but he didn't win. He did not lose them that series, but he was below average. So I feel like watching him play now, he's been spectacular. There's no doubt about it. But as I'm watching it and I'm looking at the numbers and seeing what he's doing, it reminds me of last season a little bit. And it's almost like I have to wait and see what happens in the potential playoff series before I can really determine whether or not this is the real UC Soros. Because if he takes this team into the playoffs as he did last year, and then he gets into a first round series with one of those 3 teams I mentioned before, and he doesn't play well, then we're having sort of the same conversation we were having at the end of last season. So for me, he has what, like a 970 save percentage in like the last 8 or 9 games.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not going to stay like that. I mean, that is going to regress. But I don't want it to sound like a cop-out, but I have to see what happens in the postseason if they make it before I can really determine whether or not this is the real UC Soros or he just has the habit of getting really hot in the second half of the season. I mean, we have a large enough sample to know what kind of goaltender he is overall, but, you know, I need to see him play in a playoff series and potentially steal a playoff series like Pecorino has done so many times in the past before I can have a really true feeling for what I'm watching.
Well, how many goaltenders in this league at this point, and it's still an early point, but it's like a fifth season of him playing at least a fair amount, like change significantly one way or the other, you know, in terms of what they are? That can't be very common, right?
No, I mean, you know, the one example that comes to mind is Devan Dubnyk. You know, Devan Dubnyk, you know, who even played for the Predators for what, like 2 games? Like, he bounced around the league. you know, he was traded for future considerations. That's when you know it's bad, when you're traded for future considerations, which basically means a team gave you away. And then he had this sort of career renaissance with the Minnesota Wild. So it has happened, but I agree, Joe, that it doesn't typically happen. And I have UC Saros's career numbers up. He's a career 920 goalie. That's pretty good. His career goals against is 2.51, which is solid. So I think UC Saros is a solid NHL starting goaltender. He is not going to be what Pekka was for this team for so long, but he is a good enough goalie, you know, to win games at a consistent rate like he has been now. And I think he's a good enough goalie to win in the playoffs. It didn't happen last year. It could happen this year. But at the very least, as I've said before, you know, he's the goalie of the immediate future. If he is the goalie that gets you from Pekka Rinne to Yaroslav Askarov in 3-4 years, so be it. But that's still an important role. So I think UC Saros has done a phenomenal job.
Adam, obviously we know how big of an impact Tolvanen has had on this group, particularly on the power play since he's come in. It does have some Predators fans wondering if he should be in the conversation for the Calder Trophy. What say you? Should Elli Tolvanen be in the conversation for the Calder Trophy?
It depends on how big the conversation is, because we can have a conversation that includes 20 guys. We can have a conversation
Let's
that
say
includes 10
the
guys.
Top 5 or 6.
I think he's on the periphery of that conversation. I think he's working his way into that conversation. I would put him in maybe the 5, 6, 7 range right now. You know, to me, I think the clear favorite for the Calder Trophy this season is Kirill Kaprizov.
Yep.
I'm probably butchering his name.
I think you nailed
it. Young rookie from the Minnesota Wild, who's been phenomenal. I mean, although the Blackhawks have been regressing as of late, if not for the play of Kevin Lankinen in goal early in the season, the Blackhawks would not be in the position they're in right now where they're challenging for a playoff spot. So I would have him in that conversation as well. Jason Robertson of the Dallas Stars, who's had some good games against the Predators lately, I would put him in that conversation too. So I think right now, Tolvanen's ceiling when it comes to the Calder Trophy conversation is finalist. Like if he can play like this throughout the rest of the season, I would not be surprised to see him end up in the top three. I still think he probably ends up just on the outside, maybe 4 or 5. But you know, if he can continue this play and even improve upon it, he should absolutely be in the consideration for a finalist. But I do not think he is going to win the Calder Trophy this year.
So, Adam, with Tampa Bay, you know, fading a little bit here, a little bit of struggling, not in first place. Like, if it's either of the other two teams and the Preds get in, like, do you feel markedly better about their chances of doing something?
I do. I still think that the Panthers and Hurricanes would be favored in the series. You know, the Panthers losing Aaron Ekblad for 12 weeks is such a significant blow. I mean, he was having a Norris Trophy capable season before he suffered that gruesome injury against the Stars a couple weeks ago. And Carolina, they're such a good team. I mean, the goaltending is the only thing that gives me pause about them, but Peter Mrazek is back and he's a good player and tends to own the Predators historically. So I would feel better for the Predator if the Predators were to face Florida or Carolina versus Tampa, but I still think most likely one of those three teams would move on to the second round.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. Adam, appreciate you as always, brother. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Though in this Zoom meeting, I can see myself, but I can't see you. It's very weird.
I can see you. That's the only thing that matters.
You got a short haircut, man.
Yeah.
New haircut recently? Well, I guess you get one every week, right? You're like John Gotti.
This one's about a week old. And look, talk to Darren McFarlane about why I keep my hair short.
That's right. That's right. We can do that. Adam, you look great as always. Appreciate you joining us this morning, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Adam had to say there. Also, revisit one of the greatest accomplishments that I've ever seen in my life yesterday as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. T-Mobile and 102.5 The Game are giving you and three friends the chance to win a stay-and-play experience at Hermitage Golf Course. Be listening in today at 4:15 for the keyword to text into the game line at 615-737-1025. More details at the GameNashville.com contest page. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Adam Vingan from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, I said it earlier in the show. Adam said it there as well. Even though we think a softer sell could be the right move, as they continue to win, the more I start to believe that maybe nothing happens for the Predators at the deadline. Adam echoing those thoughts as well. What's your reaction when you hear that?
I think that that would be the wrong thing to do, to do nothing.
I agree. I know what we think. Do you think it's more likely that they don't do anything at the deadline as you watch all of this unfold?
I mean, it's hard not to think that a little bit, but I'm still skeptical of overthinking that.
Sure.
You know, the deadline day comes, and sometimes teams who know you aren't desperate say, okay, this player really makes a difference for us. Let me sweeten this a little bit for you. The deadline's a few hours away. And there you go. You've gained leverage by having success, and you did the right thing.
And we've seen this happen before. Things can change in a hurry on trade deadline day. And I do keep waiting as you look around the league, like what's going to be the first domino to fall? Could it be Taylor Hall? He's not playing right now for Buffalo. They're holding him out. He's going to get traded at some point. The question is, once players like that start to get traded, is that a domino effect for the rest of the league? That's going to be very interesting to try to find out here as we continue to move forward. All right, so Joe, yesterday we opened the show by talking about this. We had a little bit of fun yesterday at Nashville Sounds at First Horizon Park. They graciously hosted us to come out there and to hold a little batting practice session, and the Sounds beginning on May the 4th. You can hear them all season long on ESPN 94.9. So really excited for that, really excited for Nashville Sounds baseball to finally get fired back up again. But we had a great time yesterday hitting the ball. A little sore today. I've got some blisters on my hands. My sides are a little sore as well. But, yeah, Joe Rexroad's got a major blister on his finger as well.
Should I rip that skin off?
Probably so.
It's killing me.
But really the star of the show yesterday was our very own Chase McCabe from Darren Donick and Chase, who courageously got out there and continued to battle yet over and over and over and over again. It was impressive to watch. And with that in mind, we welcome in Chase McCabe to our program here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chaser, how you doing, my friend?
I'm sore.
I bet you are.
I'm sore like you guys are.
I bet you are.
But I'm good. You know, it's like I put it out on Twitter. I said, here's my only message in this. I knew how this was going to turn out more than anyone else. I knew what this was going to be, and I did it anyway. So it was fun.
You're exactly right, and I respect you a great deal for that. Now, you have taken a beating a little bit on social media, which I expected these videos were put out. But I will say, you have to keep in mind, most of the people giving you grief probably have like Cheeto dust on their fingers from sitting on the couch. So I wouldn't pay too much attention to it.
Right, and you know, you want to hate, that's fine. You have every right to hate. Go ahead. But you're not out there doing it.
That's right.
So, you know, go ahead. Be a keyboard warrior and hate on little old Chase. And my favorite response from people is, how are we supposed to take you seriously when you talk sports now? If you're just now learning that I have no athletic ability, you haven't been listening anyway.
No, you have not.
Well, that's great. No, I mean, I agree with people. I mean, sports media is filled with nothing but elite athletes.
Yes, we're very good.
Exactly.
I mean, clearly.
I mean, Joe, you were what, a Letterman in four sports, right?
3-year Letterman.
Yes, that's right.
It's Cheeto dust. Maybe that might have helped prevent some blisters,
maybe
by
so.
The way. So I asked this question, Chase, during the Choice Is Yours earlier. You are a frequent star of our Choice Is Yours questions.
You are.
I've noticed that.
So I want you to answer the question. If we had to pick a sport to take on, you know, another outfit for big stakes, would you be best as our cleanup hitter, starting center in basketball, starting center in hockey, or our quarterback?
I feel like maybe basketball I could do less damage.
Okay. That seemed to be the popular thought.
Get a few rebounds, right?
I can. Yeah, I mean, back in the day, I could rebound, and I'll say this too. I was actually pretty good from the charity stripe.
Oh yeah.
So now I've probably lost that
chase.
That shot.
Isn't working then. Okay,
that's yeah. right.
Yeah. So there was one practice that we had, and I was the manager of the team, but we had lost a game the night before. They couldn't hit free throws to save their life, and so coach basically spent the entire practice making them hit free throws. And finally, the deal was made that if I make two in a row, practice is over, and I nailed both. Ah, so I was
boy.
The hero.
That's a clutch, Ooh. Clutch performance there. Chase, do you feel like there was any improvement yesterday as you went through the battle and got back in there in the cage and powered through? Do you think there was any improvement from your end as the day went on?
None whatsoever.
None at all. I was going to give you a little bit of benefit of the doubt and say I started to see some contact.
There was a little contact. There was a little contact, which was included in the video that we put out this morning.
It was.
There was a little bit of contact, which was kind of my goal going into it. I want to connect the bat to the ball at least once. And I think I did like three times, so that happened.
Was motivational speech from Joe Dubin on the side as well. I'm sure that helped.
Two or three, Porth. I don't know. One hit my thumb, so does that count?
No.
That's tough.
No.
That's tough.
You know, Chase, your co-host, the first few swings that Darren took in there, I was a little worried, like, ooh,
this could be bad.
This might be Whiff City.
I was worried he was going to hurt something.
Yeah.
But, man, I think he was easily the most impressive, right?
Yeah.
Of all of us. I mean, he was launching it.
So when we talked about this yesterday on the show, and Darren said, who do you think is going to be the best of the group that's coming out there? Because we knew Willie was not going to be able to participate because of the shoulder. I said Robbie. No disrespect to anyone else. I said I thought it would be Robbie. I know Robbie's a pretty good athlete. And so Robbie was my choice. Joe was the wild card because I really had nothing to base on. Like, I know Darren, you know, blows his knee out walking upstairs. So I kind of knew that, you know, that had a chance of happening, but I didn't know with Joe. But you're right. Darren, once he kind of got into a rhythm, it was pretty good.
It was. I think all of us were fine.
I think so too.
I was what I thought I would be.
Avenzies on YouTube says, watching Chase swinging a bat was like watching a baby try to walk for the first time. So I'm glad you provided that memory for all of us yesterday. Chase McCabe, I commend you very much for your efforts. And again, another top five moment in my life to add to this mix.
We need to put together a compilation of all the athletic things that Chase has tried to do.
Yeah.
And then put out a poll question of, okay, is he a worse skater or,
fourth coming off the top
baseball
rope.
Player?
I'm fine with it.
I've got a video on my phone of him throwing darts at my house that
wow, he's got
could
more,
probably
more
be
to throw
added
out
into
there.
This poll question.
Okay.
What's your best sport, Chase?
Beer pong?
iRacing? Is it iRacing?
iRacing?
Hey, iRacing. It's a sport. It's all a sport. Chase McCabe of Darren Donica. Chase, you can catch them coming up here in just a few minutes from 10 to 2 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Absolutely, guys. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. Well, that does it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Beer pong is a sport, by
That's
the way.
That's right. It
I
sure
support
is.
You, Chase.
Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.